Thanks for helping us stick around for so long. Planetary Radio is produced by the Planetary Society in Pasadena, California, and is made possible by its naturally intelligent members. Mary Liz Bender is our associate producer. Josh Doyle composed our theme, which was arranged and performed by Peter Schlosser. I'm Matt Kaplan. Ad Astra.
This is KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico. Listen to support a community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next is Non-Human Radio. Non-Human Radio is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters like you and by Farmstar Pizza, local, seasonal, and organic delights at Farmstar Pizza, where the farmer is the star. Farmstar features artisan pizzas, salads, appetizers, and desserts. And they have, you all know the routine, right? They have vegan and gluten-free offerings, as well as craft beer and eclectic wines. Farmstar Pizza is open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner with live music every Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening. They're located in Chico at 2359 The Esplanade. And you can also find Farmstar Pizza on Facebook and at farmstarpizza.com. And we're also made possible by Duffy's Tavern, a local Chico tradition since 1989, offering a true 16-ounce pint of Guinness on tap, a full bar, and Chico News and Review's favorite Bloody Mary. Duffy's is located on the corner of 4th and Main and is open daily 11 a.m. till 2 a.m. and on weekends noon till 2. To the July 25th, 2018 episode of Non-Human Radio, where we talk animal rights and veganism almost every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. here on KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico and streaming online at kzfr.org. With me, as usual, is the insightful Danny Toms. Please give our listeners a summary of what they'll be hearing in the next half hour or so. Please, Danny.
Today, we'll be talking about our least favorite federal agency, Wildlife Services, also resilient wild orangutans, or orangutangs, which I'll probably end up saying, and the California Cruelty-Free Cosmetic Act has gained a major endorsement. Jeannie and Calgon, take it away.
You're dating yourself, Danny. All right. Our first news story is from the Redding Record Searchlight, which reported on July 22nd of 2018 that the Animal Legal Defense Fund is calling for Shasta County to end its contract with the Federal Wildlife Services Agency. During an eight-year span, federal officials killed 72,385 wild animals, including 122 black bears in Shasta County, while trying to resolve conflicts between people and wildlife. Well, they resolved them rather bloodily, huh?
I mean, I just remember calling animal control once about a neighbor's dog trying to jump through my fence, and they just sort of laughed at me, like, we don't have time for that. Well, but the feds apparently do.
Well, we've talked about Wildlife Services before.
Yep.
They're an agency under USDA, and they are basically a rogue agency. They seem to answer to no one and are very opaque on their statistics. Christina Stella, an attorney for the Animal Legal Defense Fund, is asking county officials to stop this killing. If it doesn't stop, then Stella said she wants Shasta County officials to do a study to determine the environmental effects of killing wildlife in such numbers. Stella, a staff attorney for the Animal Legal Defense Fund, located in Cotati, California, recently sent a letter to the county urging officials to stop working with the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Wildlife Services Program, which has a contract with the county to resolve conflicts between wild animals and people. And of course, the contract with the county means a contract with the taxpayers, mm-hmm. and ultimately, who are they serving? They're serving a subset of the taxpayers known as cattle ranchers.
Yeah, I mean, if a mountain lion wanders through Bidwell Park, you hear about it. You know, so if there's 122 black bears being killed to protect conflicts between wild animals and, quote, people, it's not, they're not wandering through town. They're wandering through ranchers' territory or whatever.
So Stella, the attorney from Animal Legal Defense Fund, said Shasta County stood out from other counties in the state because of the high number of wild animals that are killed to protect livestock, crops, and protect humans. Some of those animals are species of concern because their numbers are dwindling, she said. And, you know, we've talked about this before, where we've talked about wildlife services, and I did a breakout of the death toll in various counties. And mm-hmm. Shasta County turned up really high on the list, yeah, so I'm glad to see Animal Legal Defense Fund taking aim at this county's contracts with wildlife services. Rather than killing animals, there are more effective methods of controlling conflicts between people and wildlife, Stella said. The ALDF, Animal Legal Defense Fund, is particularly concerned about tricolored blackbirds, which was listed this year as a threatened species under the California Endangered Species Act. Stella said that from 2008 to 2016, wildlife services killed 60,443 Brewer's blackbirds, red-winged blackbirds, and yellow-headed blackbirds. Those birds flock with tricolored blackbirds, making it likely that they are being killed along with the other varieties, she said.
That's a lot of birds. I mean, are they like eating somebody's crops in a sense, or like?
Yeah, they're grain feeders, and they do form big flocks at different times of the year. You see them flying over the rice fields. If you're driving from Chico to 99, they're feeding on waste grain, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And they are also, a lot of those species are, the reason why you see them over rice fields is because they tend to be near water. They're kind of marsh birds. Shasta County, Stella went on to say, Shasta County has apparently not considered the potential of killing tricolored blackbirds before contracting with wildlife services to kill blackbirds in the county. Wildlife Services, though, maintains that its integrated wildlife damage management program has never killed a species that is listed as endangered or threatened by state or federal government.
They're the bestest. Never. They're the bestest organization. They have the bestest people.
A tricolored blackbird has not been killed in the program by Shasta in Shasta County for at least 12 years, said Tanya Espinosa, a spokeswoman for Wildlife Services. Espinosa did not dispute the number of wild animals that ALDF says were killed by the program between 2008 and 2016, which were based on information the Animal Legal Defense Fund obtained through a Freedom of Information Act request.
So as you noted, they're opaque. They're not publishing this information. They're making you twist their arm to get it through.
Exactly. Thank goodness for advocacy groups like that that are persistent and know how to frame a Freedom of Information Act request to get the data they want. I know that when I went to the Wildlife Services website at USDA.gov, they had very poor data on mm-hmm. there, just mass numbers, undistinguished by state or county.
Wow.
So this must have been a very specific request for county-based information. Some of the animals listed in this killing spree in this 8-year killing spree included 481 coyotes, 57,000 red-winged blackbirds, over 2,200 yellow-headed blackbirds, 61 mountain lions, and 2,400 muskrats, and the aforementioned 122 black bears. That is a lot of killing.
Yeah.
Shasta County Ag Commissioner Paul Kios said that his office works with Wildlife Services when there are reports of wild animal problems, such as a bear getting into someone's trash, a mountain lion killing livestock, or birds feeding on crops. Farmers, ranchers, or residents are urged to call the Ag Commissioner's office, which then contacts Wildlife Services to determine how to deal with the problem, Kios said. Even when residents have a conflict with wild animals, such as bears or mountain lions, the Ag Commissioner's office is contacted, which then calls Wildlife Services, Kios says. My question is, why isn't there an animal control department to handle these types of conflicts mm-hmm. of residents, right? That's what happens in Butte County, and then it either gets referred out to Fish and Wildlife or our local animal control manages the situation.
I assume most of what these guys do is kill animals and get paid for it. That's probably going to be their solution to a lot of these problems.
Yes, if the only tool you have is a hammer, then everything looks like a nail. According to Kios, the Ag Commissioner for Shasta County, the number of calls annually for Wildlife Services has been steady over the past several years at about 700 per year. Most of the Wildlife Services are provided to owners of ranches, vineyards, timberlands, and other ag properties, according to a 2017 Ag Commissioner's report supporting an exemption from preparing a full environmental impact report. Not all calls result in animals being killed, said the Ag Commissioner. Sometimes animals are trapped, or the Wildlife Services employee will put up materials to drive an animal away. Other times, officials advise property owners how to deter wild animals, he said. Wildlife Services provides an important public service, Espinosa said. That's the spokesperson for Wildlife Services. During the 8-year period cited by the Animal Legal Defense Fund, Wildlife Services dispersed more than 3.2 million birds and provided, quote, technical assistance to 2,900 county residents, Espinosa said. In 2015, the agency provided more than 40,000 non-lethal wildlife recommendations, she said. As for how Wildlife Services methods affect the environment, Espinosa said that in 1997, the agency did an environmental assessment of the program for the agency's Northern District, which includes Shasta County. That document was updated through the 2000s, she said. And correct me if I'm wrong, but we're in 2018 now, right?
Yeah, and going back to this 2015 number, maybe it's unclear what they're talking about in terms of non-lethal recommendations, but like, 40,000 phone calls going somewhere isn't even feasible for a sort of a county agency. There's no way they could track and handle that much of a call volume.
Yeah,
this is either not true or they're saying, well, we found 20,000 birds here and told
and
them to scare
one.
Them away.
Yeah. This agency has existed for decades without much oversight, so I think they're accustomed to providing a lot of fake news.
Yeah, I mean, it's our tax dollars paying for ranchers and farmers' profits because they're getting free services, basically.
An updated draft environmental report was released in 2015, but environmental groups challenged it in court. She said an updated environmental report should be completed by 2023. Don't rush, folks. Don't rush. At this time, it isn't clear whether Shasta County officials plan to do a separate environmental impact report under the California Environmental Quality Act. The County Board of Supervisors discussed the letter from the Animal Legal Defense Fund in closed session during its June 19th meeting. Most items voted on by the board are dealt with in open session, but the Assistant County Counsel, Jim Ross, said that the board was allowed to discuss the letter in closed session because it posed a significant exposure to legal action. Ross said that the board took no action in closed session regarding the letter, and the county cites the, quote, common sense exemption as its reason for not preparing a full environmental impact report for the wildlife management program, according to the Ag Commissioner's 2017 report. Well, I can just see any environmental lawyer just blowing that common sense exemption out of the water, so I'm looking forward to reporting more on that. The 2017 report from the Shasta County Ag Commissioner says that, quote, there is no possibility, end quote, the program might have had a significant impact on the environment. We just believe it's so, you know?
Yeah, I'm waiting for your next comment here, Doug.
The Integrated
Wildlife.
Oops, hold on. Let's go back to it.
Death Machine.
Okay, we'll go with that. Integrated Wildlife Death Machine program has been implemented continuously over the last 17 years, and there is no evidence that the program has had an adverse effect on the environment, the report says.
So they basically keep no statistics, do minimal or no environmental impact reports, and judge themselves to be doing a great job.
Yeah, obviously. You know? Yeah, pat on the back, boys. Pat on the back. Like Shasta County, Mendocino and Monterey counties also said they were exempt from doing a thorough analysis of the program, said the Animal Legal Defense Fund attorney. But the Animal Legal Defense Fund successfully challenged those claims in court, which we have reported on in the past. And just as a side note, Shasta County recently renewed its contract with Wildlife Services, meaning the Board of Supervisors of Shasta County renewed its contract with Wildlife Services, which costs the county taxpayers about $125,000 a year. And that was from the Redding Record Searchlight from July 22nd. So looking forward to seeing some updates on that. Really, of all the many agencies we can take issue with, Wildlife Services is top of the list in terms of the one that you could just line item cross out from the federal budget and not even miss it.
Right.
All right. You've been listening to Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio, hosted by Jeannie Trezino and Danny Toms. What's next, Danny?
Our second news piece is titled, When Conservation Steps Out of the Wild and Into the Anthropocene, from the July issue of Anthropocene Magazine, written by Brandon Keem. Anthropocene Magazine, let me say Anthropocene once more, Anthropocene Magazine itself is the evolution of Conservation Magazine and aims to look critically at current beliefs and provide counterintuitive insights to environmental and development challenges and craft in-depth stories about the people and technologies behind those innovations. The Anthropocene era is now, so that's what that fancy word means. The magazine itself models itself after the MIT Technology Review and Harvard Business Review and what those publications have done for their respective fields.
Yeah, I really encourage folks to go online, Google Anthropocene Magazine. I'll also post the link to the article online. But it's really an interesting look at where we are at now and acknowledging that human impact is irreversible and where do we go on from here.
The article begins, orangutans are a conservation emblem, a species whose plight brings to mind moonscape clear cuts and the urgent need to protect what pristine forests remain. Yet this picture may be too simplistic. Saving orangutans from extinction, say some conservations, is less about protecting habitat than learning to share it. Quote, orangutans retain their status as symbols of fragile, untouched nature, write researchers led by Stephanie Spihar of the University of Wisconsin Oshkosh in the journal Science Advances. It's a conception that actually hinders conservation, they say, and delays a necessary, quote, shift from a paradigm of isolated islands of protection to one of broad coexistence, which this sort of makes sense. Like, humanity is going to grow, people are going to be everywhere. It's a bit naive to assume you're going to have these little islands of greenery that won't be poached and that are even self-sustaining in the long term. You know, can we sort of intermix a bit without, of course, causing problems everywhere? Spihar and colleagues begin their article by reviewing the natural history of these great apes, who are presently found only on the islands of Borneo and Sumatra, but once lived throughout Southeast Asia. They didn't just survive in dense rainforests as they do now, but in other habitats as well, a fact that suggests their considerate adaptability. One explanation for their range contraction is climate change-induced shifts in vegetation, but the researchers find this unpersuasive. After all, orangutans weathered other such changes, over history. A more compelling explanation is human proliferation. The fossil record shows that, again and again, the arrival of humans was soon followed by local extirpations and exterminations of these animals. Adaptable as orangutans might be, their extremely slow reproduction rates are fixed. Even slight hunting pressure is enough to set a population on a trajectory to zero. Those who remain in Borneo and Sumatra are the remnants of a march to extinction that started 20,000 years ago and not, as is typically assumed, with the mid-20th century advent of modern logging and agricultural.
And this is the controversial, you know, part of their paper, right? We tend to think that we need to just preserve intact rainforest.
Right.
Because that's where we see orangutans now. But in fact, if we don't kill them, then they have a chance to populate enough so that they can expand out into non-pristine rainforests.
Yeah,
and it's also acknowledging that what makes orangutans vulnerable is their really slow reproduction rate.
And that, I think what it's saying is that even if you keep them pristine where they are now, they're already on a path to extinction because of 20,000 years of pressure. And the idea that you just had to build a wall around where they are now might not work.
Building a wall is always a solution.
And one that never works. This may seem a grim assessment. After all, if orangutans couldn't survive a few pre-industrial humans, how can they possibly survive now? Yet to Spihar's team, they find hope in this narrative. Just as orangutans once adapted to other habitats, so they might adapt to new ones. Research indeed suggests that orangutans can live in logged forests and even plantations so long as there are natural forests nearby. The simple key to their survival is humans and us not killing them. Quote, they are smart and ecologically versatile and could survive in anthropogenic landscapes. I don't know what that means. You know what that means, anthropogenic?
That means human-affected landscapes, such as a plantation.
I see. Says study co-author Eric Meillard, a conservation biologist with, quote, Borneo Futures. If we manage to achieve near zero killing rates. So I read that a little awkwardly, but basically saying they're smart, they can adapt, we just can't be killing them all the time because they don't reproduce.
Which means that our conservation dollars is better spent in educating and changing human practices so that orangutans don't get killed.
Right.
As opposed to preserving pristine rainforests, which there is precious little of.
Yeah. All of this won't be easy. Laws against hunting orangutans exist, but they are rarely enforced. People who live near orangutans, quote, often see them as just another animal that lives in the forest, like a pig or a deer, not as a creature that needs special treatment, says Spihar. So, animals are often treated the same, whether you're, black bears in Northern California getting on a rancher's property or you're an orangutan in Borneo getting on a rancher's property. They look at somebody messing with their crops and they want to kill them. Yes, as Spihar goes on to say, is when they eat their crops, they're seen as these big scary pests. So for orangutans to survive, conservationists need to help people care about them and to manage these conflicts. Habitat protection won't stop being important, of course, but rather than focusing entirely on large tracts of forest from which human activity is absent, Spihar and colleagues want more attention paid to landscapes outside these areas. Conservationists will need to bring stakeholders together, promoting orangutan-friendly land management, as Jeannie just said, and planning while negotiating the tensions between the communities, companies, governments, orangutans, etc. So in short, protecting the orangutans won't be achieved by setting aside forests. It will be a feat of social engineering. Maybe we can get Facebook on this.
Huh?
Somehow they can monetize this. When human-wildlife coexistence is successful, says author Spihar, it's because of the capacity for adaptation on the part of the animal and a willingness to be adaptable and tolerant on the part of humans as well. So just as the orangutans can adapt, so must we.
Right. I think the orangutans will adapt more easily than humans will. But I just like that this points to a different conservation mode than we typically see. You've been listening to Animal News on Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio, co-hosted by Jeannie Trezino and Danny Toms. And our last story, Market Watch, on a totally different tangent. Market Watch News reported last week that in a history-making move, the California Democratic Party has unanimously endorsed legislation to ban the sale of cosmetics that have been tested on animals. The first of its kind move came at the state party's executive board meetings in Oakland on Sunday. The California Cruelty-Free Cosmetic Act, SB 1249, was authored by Senator Kathleen Galjani, who represents Senate District 5, which encompasses San Joaquin County and portions of Stanislaus and Sacramento County.
It's a bit surprising.
I only researched that because it's not San Francisco. It's not L.A. County. If passed, SB 1249 would put California ahead of any other state and even the European Union when it comes to stopping the sales of cosmetics that are tested on animals. Currently, an estimated 500,000 animals are killed every year due to cosmetic testing. The sponsors of the bill are the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, Go Neil Barnard, and a group called Social Compassion in Legislation. Christy Sullivan, Vice President of Research Policy for the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, made the following statement. Californians have long sought personal care products that are tested using human relevant methods and not on animals. It's wonderful to see the Democratic Party back SB 1249, a bill that benefits the public, animals, and California businesses. SB 1249 has already passed in the California Senate and the Assembly Judiciary Committees with bipartisan support and is backed by 90 cosmetic companies across the United States, including John Paul Mitchell Systems, the largest such company in California. Multiple polls show that U.S. consumers support ending animal testing for cosmetics, and a 2015 Nielsen poll found that not tested on animals was the most important consumer packaging claim for respondents across all age groups. The bill will be voted on in the State Assembly after the legislature returns from summer recess. And so, just a heads up, our State Assembly representative is James Gallagher in the 3rd Assembly District. Please take a moment to contact his office and tell him that you would like him to vote yes on the California Cruelty-Free Cosmetic Act. And as another aside, on May 30th of this year, our state senator, Jim Nielsen, of the 4th Senate District, voted no on this bill from the Senate floor.
Hmm.
What a winner. Okay.
All right. Is it time for the calendar of events, Jeannie?
It sure is. All right. Thank you very much. Here are some great vegan-friendly events to put on your calendar. And if you need more information, please send me an email at chicovegan@gmail.com. July 27th, that is tomorrow? It is July 26th, Thursday. The plant-based Chico monthly meeting is happening at the Chico Guild Hall from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Please join plant-based Chico to learn about tips and tricks on how to be a happy, healthy, whole foods plant-based vegan. And they will also be having a special speaker and having some giveaways too. This is a free event open to the public, and for more information, check out the Plant-Based Chico Facebook group. This Saturday, July 28th, I hope that's right, Saturday, July 28th from 6 to 7:30 p.m. is the Chico Vegan Potluck, hosted by Chico Vegan Meetup. And that is from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at the Chico Public Library Community Room, which is air-conditioned. So I encourage you all to come in out of the heat, share some good food with some good vegans. Our theme this month is Farmer's Market, which is always a great potluck. Basically, you go to the farmer's market, buy seasonal, local, and prep it up and bring it in and share. And as always, the plant-based Chico group will have a special table for Whole Foods plant-based goodies. You can find potluck details and the schedule for the whole year, which is drawing to a close rapidly, at chicovegan.com. And finally, let's see, we have August 13th. Okay, so pencil in August 13th. If you are a carnivore, if you eat meat currently and you would like to stop eating meat and you want some support in doing so, there is a new program in Chico called Carnivores Anonymous. It's organized by Trudy O'Connor, who is a sometimes co-host of Non-Human Radio. She's a local animal advocate and vegan cook. This is Carnivores Anonymous. It's been meeting on August 13th from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Chico Public Library. And it is a support group based on the idea that many people who wish to go vegan and stay vegan often have trouble breaking old habits. Carnivores Anonymous is a free psychiatrist-developed 12-step program developed by the animal advocacy group In Defense of Animals. It is designed to support and provide strategies to help people maintain optimum health, lose weight, reverse chronic illness, and tackle food addiction while adopting a plant-based lifestyle. The group will be meeting monthly on the second Tuesday of the month at the Chico Library Community Room from 7 to 8 p.m. And for more information, you can go to carnivoresanonymous.org or send me a message to the Non-Human Radio Facebook page, and I'll pass it along to Trudy. Okay, that is it for the calendar. If you have an event to share, please send me an email at chicovegan@gmail.com. And we have one last bit of business to take care of, and that is the animal rights quote of the week. Take it away, Danny.
Our animal rights quote of the week is from Mark Beckoff, author of Canine Confidential, Why Dogs Do What They Do, and a longtime animal activist. Beckoff was recently interviewed by the Eugene Veg Education Network. Quote, Dominion does not mean domination. We hold dominion over animals only because of our powerful and ubiquitous intellect, not because we are morally superior, not because we have a right to exploit those who cannot defend themselves. Let us use our brain to move toward compassion and away from cruelty, to feel empathy rather than cold indifference, to feel animals' pain in our hearts.
So eloquent.
Yes. Non-Human Radio is made possible through the generous contributions of KZFR listeners like you.
This has been Non-Human Radio, a production of KZFR 90.1 FM Chico. The views and opinions expressed on this broadcast are those of the hosts and do not reflect the opinions of KZFR, its board, its volunteers, or its staff. The Real Issue is coming up at 6 o'clock with guest host Stephen Chudy. Welcome.
This is Danny Toms and Jeannie Trezino signing off. Until next week, be different, be better, be kind.
And go vegan.